that next week I'll be finishing. We'll be finishing up. I have two more things after today to share about this set, and then I want to start talking about miracles. Amen? How many know that our God is a miracle worker? And I want God's miracle working power to be working on Resurrection Day, where we're going to celebrate the greatest miracle of all. Amen? We want to have a miracle and healing service on Easter. You know what? Because some people, they only attend Christmas and Easter. So while they're here, we're going to get them good. Amen? So in the meantime, what I need from people is when you come on a Sunday, when you come on a Wednesday, when you come to youth, I need you just to take a little extra time, and I want you to pray for miracles. Wednesday, I'm going to have a sheet of some prayer points that you can pray. I'm not asking for any extra time, but I mean, as far as any ordinary day that you would come. But whenever time we have an event, whether it's Woven or Barnabas or our service or youth, you know, if you can, just those that are involved in those things, those that come, spend a little extra time either before or after, and let's pray for miracles. Amen? How many know that when the church prayed all night, Peter was delivered from prison? And how many know that when the 120 prayed in the upper room, they shook their entire region? So we need people praying. Amen? God listens to our prayer. Say, God, hears me when I pray. So I'm asking you as your pastor to take some extra time, and we're going to specifically pray for miracles. You know, in towards the end of the chapter, they said, or Acts 4, I believe it was, Lord, stretch forth your hand to heal and do signs, wonders, and miracles in the name of Jesus. That's what we want to pray. Amen? So even when you're at home and it comes to mind, take some extra time and just pray for miracles to occur. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, say, I'm blessed. Is it good to be blessed? Hallelujah. Here's a little story here. A man walked up to a vending machine. He put in a coin, or he put in the right change. He pressed the button labeled coffee, double cream, sugar. No cup appeared, but the nozzles went into action, sending forth coffee, cream, and sugar. After the proper amounts had gone down the drain, the machine turned off. Now that's automation, said the man. This thing even drinks it for you. That is just how some people want their faith. They want to make a great deposit, put in some money, and let the rest be taken care of automatically. But there is no such thing as automated prayers, devotion, worship, and song or service. The religion of Jesus requires personal discipline. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, if you have your Bibles, I want you to go to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Hallelujah. We've been talking about some ways that we can multiply and increase. I'm going to give you the secret to success today. You want to succeed? This is what God told Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. He said, "This book of the law," speaking of the word of God, "shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein." And then what's going to happen? "You shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success." Amen? Good success is good, right? So would you say that God wanted Joshua to prosper? Did you say that he wanted him to have success? Does God want you to prosper? Does he want you to have good success? But there's things that we got to do, isn't there? We got to speak the word. We got to meditate in it day and night. And we've got to observe to do. In God's kingdom, can a person live any way that they want to and prosper from God? No. When you're living in God's kingdom, you've got to go by God's rules. And you know what? God only gives us two commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. He took the complex and he made it simple. Amen? So we're going to carry on with our series. And we're talking from the book of Proverbs. There's eight things that I saw that will cause you to prosper and multiply and increase according to the book of Proverbs. I'll give you them, and then we'll get into where we are today. Number one, you got to keep God's commands. Number two, you've got to be a giver. Amen. You've got to have the nature of giving on the inside of you. Number three, you've got to operate, you've got to get wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. How many know that wisdom is the principal thing? And Jesus is our wisdom, isn't he? Number four, you've got to walk in righteousness. Number five is where we are today. And you need to seek God above all else. How many know that you can't mix anything with God to make it better? God's word is pure, and Jesus even told us, he said, don't add to it or don't take away from it. Amen? God said what he meant, and he meant what he said. And I love God because he never uses adjectives lightly. You know, in my earlier days, I used to be adjective man. It was my hidden identity. It still comes out every once in a while. You may have heard me say, have an awesome, fantastic, outstanding, wonderful, excellent day. And I remember I used to work in a Blockbuster in Tennessee. And I would tell people, have a wonderful, fantastic night, because we always had to greet them as they come in. We always had to acknowledge them as they go out. And people would, they would turn their heads. They'd be like, what are you talking about? You know? And, but this is how God is, isn't he? If you turn to the book of Proverbs chapter 8, we're going to get into it today. Proverbs chapter 8. You know, our God is excessive. Everything that he does is really too much for us. He's a more than enough God. He's called El Shaddai, not El Cheapo. Amen? El Shaddai means more than enough, all-sufficient, almighty. And that name was revealed to Abraham when he was going to about to sacrifice his son. In Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17. Notice what it says, I love them that love me. And those that seek me early shall what? Find me. Riches and honor are with me. Yes, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance. God wants you to inherit substance or wealth. And I will fill their treasuries. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, and before the works he did. Now I want you to go down to verse 32. Well, let me just, you know, when we love God, God loves those who love him. But I thought God loved everybody. Yes, God's love is available to everybody. But if you want to benefit from God's love, if you want to tap into God's love, then you need to love him. Amen? You know, wouldn't it be terrible if in a marriage, if only one person invested in love? we've got to aim and fix our eyes on Jesus. You know, God rewards those who seek him, Hebrews 11:6. If you diligently seek me, he said, I'm a rewarder of those who diligently seek me. We've got to set our eyes on Jesus. Amen? It is our job to seek him out. Why? He sought us out. Why did Jesus come to this earth? He came to seek and save that which was lost. He came, he saw, he died on the cross, he rose again, and it is finished as far as he's concerned. And now he's praying for us. He's interceding for us at God's right hand. And he's wanting everybody to benefit from what he has already provided. So he already sought us out. You know, what does God have that people want? I heard one minister say, what in hell do you want? Oh, pastor said a bad word. No, in hell there's nothing that you want. I'm talking about the place. Amen? You know, every once in a while, God will lead a person to do shock therapy. What does God have that you want? He has riches, honor, enduring wealth, and prosperity. You know, the wicked can increase in wealth, but that doesn't mean that they prosper. Because if they've gained all this stuff and lose their soul, they haven't gained a thing. I mean, the wicked can prosper. One of the prophets, he got angry because the wicked were prospering. God, why are the wicked prospering? Listen, the wicked can increase in wealth, but that doesn't mean that they prosper according to God's standards. You know, when you prosper, it's more than just money. It affects your whole life. It enhances the quality of your whole life. God wants you to have an abundant life. Jesus came to give you life more abundantly. Now, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. God is not the thief. He's the giver. Satan is the thief. When you seek Jesus, his kingdom, and his righteousness, he will produce in us things that are better than material goods. I have known people, well, not personally, but I have read stories of people who had an understanding of wealth. And they went through hard times and they lost their wealth, but it wasn't too long after that that they regained it. Amen? Why? Because they had some knowledge and information about wealth, and they knew how to get it. They knew how to create it. Amen? Well, God has wisdom that set the universe. Do you realize that you have access to the wisdom that God used to set this universe in place? And he will give you answers. He will answer your questions. He will solve your problems. He will address your fears. But you've got to seek him. Go down to verse 32. Now therefore, hearken unto me. Start listening to him right now. Don't wait till tomorrow. Do it right now. Make a decision in your heart that your ears are open to God. Amen? You know, when God spoke to the churches, he said, those who have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. Not everybody can hear what the Spirit is saying because they don't take time to listen. They don't recognize his voice. Blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that hears me. Notice he said that again. Watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso finds me finds life. But he that sins against me wrongs his own soul. All they that love hate me love death. You know, when he talks about waiting at my doorposts, the story that comes to mind is the story of Joshua. He was a servant to Moses. And he later became general when they got out of Egypt. Joshua led all the armies, and then he eventually took over. But while he was serving Moses, Moses had an office called the tabernacle. And every day, Moses would go to the office, Everybody in the camp would stand up while Moses entered into the tabernacle. He'd close the door behind him, and the glory of the Lord would descend. And there, Moses would talk with God as a man talks with his friend. He would get insight. God gave him revelation on how to build the tabernacle. He gave him revelation on how to instill God's plan for his people, Israel. God had conversations with Moses so that Moses could be the leader. You're talking leading 2 to 3 million people. And then Moses, he'd get tired. He would finish his work. He would leave the tabernacle. But someone was hanging out by the tabernacle because they saw the glory of God. Maybe Joshua heard some of the conversations that Moses and God would have, and Joshua would just sit there. He'd be waiting at the doorposts. He'd be sitting at the feet. How about Mary? Jesus showed up to their house one day, and Martha, she was cooking dinner. She was getting the place ready, and she was looking for her sister. Now, where is Mary? Where did she go? She's supposed to help me. What was Mary doing? Let me go up here. Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus. She was taking time to listen to what he said. You know, sometimes you've got to take some time in your life out of your schedule, and you've got to take some time and listen to what he's saying. If you want to get to where he wants you to be, you got to listen to what he's saying. You can't miss the instruction, because God blesses you through instructions, through commands. Listen, he's talking about a person who listens. He's watching daily. He's looking to the Lord. His eyes are open. He comes with expectation. You know, God, he created man so that he could have someone to pal around with. God is into fellowship. God is into relationship. That's why God, when he created man, he would walk with Adam in the cool of the day, and him and Adam had conversations. Him and Adam had dialogue. But when sin came in, that was broken, and so was God's heart. But God had a plan. And we see some key elements in these verses. God wants you to desire him like he desires you. David said, I'd rather spend one day in God's presence than 1,000 elsewhere, just so that I could look and gaze upon his beauty. David would much rather be in the presence of God than anywhere else. Paul, when Paul was ending his life, he said, you know what? I could be with the Lord. And that's where his heart was. But he said, at the moment, it's more necessary that I be here. But he wanted to depart. He wanted to finish, but he couldn't finish yet because there were some things that he needed to put into some people. Do we have this desire? You know, God believes that spending time with you is more important, and he looks forward to it. And he's always there, and sometimes he wonders where we went, or how come we didn't show up, or oops, I forgot my appointment with the Lord. You know, I remember hearing a testimony of Billy Graham. And one day, Billy Graham, he told his secretary, hold all my calls for the next hour, because he was going to spend time in prayer. And then they got a phone call. The secretary answered, and it was the president of the United States. And she thought, well, maybe Reverend Graham ought to take this call. So she told him who it was, and he said, tell him I'll call him back later. I'm in an important meeting right now. Do you think that Billy Graham's success just came about haphazardly? No, that man knew how to talk with God. Amen? Because he spent time listening. He spent time in God's presence, waiting, seeking him. We got to be a listener. If you look in the mirror, you realize that you have two ears and one mouth, right? We ought to do twice as much listening as speaking. Be swift to hear, slow to wrath. Amen? Number two is we got to keep God's ways. You know, God's ways are higher than our ways, but you can get on the elevator up. Amen? God's got an elevator, and he'll take you up. Didn't he take Paul into the third heaven? Didn't he take Moses up to Mount Sinai? I believe he took Moses into heaven where Moses was there for 40 days. And I believe that Moses got to see the tabernacle in heaven so that he could build one on earth. Because, listen, if you're going to build something, you got to follow the pattern. Isn't that right? So, yeah, God's ways are higher, but if you hook up with him, he'll take you up. He'll reveal things to you. He'll show you things. You got to watch God daily. Keep your eyes on him. You know, when you're focused on God, you won't stumble or fail. Some people think they have to fail to succeed. Well, Jesus didn't fail, and he was very successful. So I guess that proves that theory wrong. Amen? Daniel was successful. And we don't read where he failed. He didn't fail to pray. But it depends on where your eyes are. Jesus is the way, and if you're not looking for him, then you can lose your way. Amen? When you lose your way, you get in trouble. You know, Psalm 1 talks about a man that's planted by the rivers of the living water. He looks to the word. He looks to the law. God's law is his delight. I don't know about you, but I get excited about reading the Bible. The more I read it, the more I want to read it. It gets me excited. Then you got to watch daily. You got to wait on God. You know what? What happens to you when you wait on God? What do you renew? You renew your strength, but you got to wait on him. What does it mean to wait on God? To sit and do nothing? How many's ever been in a restaurant? And you have a waiter or a waitress, right? What are they doing? They're coming to your table. They're checking on you. They're going back to the supplies. They're bringing you your food. They're doing, you know what that's called? Waiting. Waiting is not sitting down and doing nothing, but it's actively serving. When you wait on God, what are you doing? Oh, I'm waiting on God. What are you waiting for? I don't know, I'm just waiting. You know, when I worked in the car dealership, I washed the cars, I cleaned my boss's pool every week, and I ran errands. But there were times when we would sell a car off the showroom floor, and then we'd have to move another car onto the showroom. But I found that if the car is not moving, it's very hard to steer and to turn. But when that car's moving, it's much easier to steer and turn. When you're moving, when you're actively serving, when you're doing something for God, it's a lot easier for God to lead and guide you and direct you. But when you're doing nothing, it's a lot harder for God. We got to develop waiting on God. And then finally, you got to find God. When you find him, you find life. But in order to find him, you got to seek him. Amen? To find something means you got to look and search for it. There are people who are lost in this world. They've lost their purpose and their first love. You know, God spoke to a church that lost. He said, you've left your first love. When you lose your purpose, you lose control of your life. Because the adversary comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And when you don't know what your purpose is, he'll lead you to destruction. So you got to find God, amen? How long should I seek until you find? Amen? Sometimes we give up too easily. Oh, it's too hard. The road is too rough. The mountain is too high. And you quit. I'm sure glad Jesus didn't quit when he was on the way to Calvary. I'm so glad he didn't quit going to the cross. I'm glad he didn't quit in the garden where he sweated great drops of blood. Yeah, you will face challenges. But you know what? You've got the victory on the inside of you. You've got the strength to take on any challenge, amen? There's nothing you can't do in Christ. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. So, you got to seek God above all else. Amen? You've got to be like a heat-seeking missile. And you've got a zero, you're a presence-seeking missile. And whenever you find God's presence, you lock on and you get to it. You hit the target. Amen? Or if you're into firearms or archery, you got to take aim, don't you? You can't just go, if you do that, I'm not hunting with you. It takes some skill to take aim. You got to breathe out. You got to look. You got to line up with the target, and you got to squeeze the trigger. And when you do, you'll hit the target. Amen? All right. Number 6. This is a big one. Go to Proverbs chapter 10, verses 4 through 6. You need to be a diligent person. Proverbs 10, 4 through 6. He becomes poor that deals with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent make rich. He that gathers in summer is a wise son, but he that sleeps in harvest is a son that causes shame. Blessings are upon the head of the just, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. So God wants you to be a diligent person. What does that mean? He wants you to be hardworking. He wants you to be industrious. He wants you to be meticulous, conscientious, and thorough. He wants you to show persistence. He wants you to show a persistent effort in doing something. A diligent person finishes what they start. Practice with the books you read. If you read half the book, you haven't read the whole book. Read it until you're done, amen? How'd you like to be half a speaker? You're in the middle of a thought. You know? Can you imagine carrying on a conversation of someone that stops halfway in their conversation? You'd be like, tell me the end. Don't keep me in suspense. A diligent person, now, you got to, with everything with God, you got to have balance. You know, people in general, we are created, we get addicted to things very easily. And you can get addicted to hard work. I'm a hard worker. You know what? There's 7 other things. This is just 1 of 7. So if all you are is a hardworking person, you've got 1/7. Of what you need, of the whole thing. Amen? Don't become addicted to just doing hard work, because then you become a workaholic. A workaholic is someone that works, and has no fun, no people time, nothing, and it's miserable life. It's a hard life. So, but let's look at what the Bible says about diligence can help you be wealthy. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Laziness can help you become poor. If you're lazy, you will be poor. But if you're diligent, You won't be poor. Amen? You know, whenever there's a harvest to gather, it takes work. It takes a lot of work to bring in the harvest. God is not opposed to work or saving and preparing for the future, and God will help you do both. Look at Ephesians 4:28. Let him who stole steal no more, but rather labor, working with his hands in the doing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needs. You should not work for a living. What do you mean? You should work for a giving and trust God for your living. Let me read Ephesians again. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needs. So you should trust God for your living. You know, a person can do something useful instead of stealing. Amen? And if you're stealing because you're hungry, come to my house. I'll give you some food. You know, there's no excuse for stealing or lying or gossiping or any of that stuff in God. Work is one avenue that God may use to get money or extra money to us. When I was a teenager and I would need money, I would say, God, I need money. And then the next day I'd get a call. I got some work for you to do. In my early days, that's how God, why? I was able to work. I had the time to work. I was healthy to work. And guess what? God would give me work. And I would get the extra money that I need. Amen? And there were other times, like when we made the decision to leave Tennessee and come to Pennsylvania. Someone called us over their house for dinner that night. You know, we were going to be leaving in a couple days, and they just wanted to share some things with us. And we had dinner, we had a great time, and they gave us an envelope and a CD. And we opened up the envelope when we were in the car, and it was a check for $1,000. Amen? Because we were getting ready to move, because we were obeying God. Now, there are times when God will cause men to give into your bosom. Amen? Listen, God's got so many ways of getting what you need to you. Don't worry about it. Just chill. As Gabriel would say, chillax. Go to Matthew chapter 5. See, I'm a diligent person. Matthew 5 and verse 40. Did you know that Christians should be the best workers? Why? Number one, you represent Christ. Number two, he gives you the strength to overcome any weakness that you have. And number three, he tells us this in his word. If any man will sue you at the law and take away your coat, let him have your cloak too. Notice you're giving him what he didn't ask for. Verse 41. And whosoever shall compel you to go a mile, go with him too. As a Christian, you should go the extra mile. You should do things that you're not asked to necessarily, because that's what Christ would do. How many people did Christ feed after he got done preaching and people were with him all day? And there were 5,000 men, the Bible says, so it doesn't count women and children. So you're talking 15,000, 20,000 people maybe. And he took some bread and some fish, he multiplied it, and he fed them all. And what happened? They had 12 baskets left over. Amen? When God does something, he'll always do a surplus. Now, I didn't say this. This is in the Bible, is it not? Who's talking here? Who's telling us that we should go an extra mile? Jesus, our commander in chief. Amen. Give him that asks you, and from him that would borrow of you, turn not away, as long as you have it. Amen? Uh-oh, we're dealing with some flesh things here, aren't we? Well, I was attached to that thing. Yeah, but God wants you to give that thing. And guess what? When you give that thing, when you give what God asks you, he'll give you another thing that's better. Amen? God always replaces what you give for him, being led by him, with something better. Amen? So anytime God asks you to give, he's always got an upgrade on his mind. Glory to God. Go back to Proverbs 12. Proverbs 12. Well, I thought this message would be more spiritual. Well, this is spiritual, let me tell you. You know, when you're diligent, you're spiritual. Because the Bible tells you to be diligent. When you're diligent, you're doing something spiritual, because God's word is spirit and life. Do you realize when you do what the Bible says, you're being spiritual? Amen? And you can never go wrong doing what the word says. You could get off over here, but as long as you're anchored into the word, you're going to be all right. Always make sure you're anchored into the word, otherwise you'll be adrift. And you'll go everywhere. Proverbs 12, verses 11 through 14. He that tills his land shall be satisfied with bread. But he that follows vain persons is void of understanding. The wicked desires the net of the evil men, but the root of the righteous yield fruit. The wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble. A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hands shall be rendered unto him. Okay, so what is he saying? A diligent person works his land and is satisfied. How many know there's some effort in tilling land? You've got to water, you've got to weed, you've got to plant, you've got to reap. Amen? How many know that the tomatoes in your garden, they don't jump off the vine onto your plate? You got to go get them, you got to pick them, you got to wash them, right? But when you do, the taste is worth it, isn't it? Amen? It takes a little bit of work, but the harvest far outweighs the work. And that phrase, satisfied with bread, means you'll have an abundance of bread. Working your land is seizing opportunities that come to you. See, you may not be a farmer, you may not have a garden, but you have opportunities. What do you do with the opportunities that come your way? There they go. Oh, wait a minute. If I try to grab it now, it's already passed. Do you realize that when opportunities come, you've got to seize them when they come, because you could miss an opportunity. John Mason said this: if your ship doesn't come in, swim out and get it. Why are you sitting waiting on your ship? Put on your wetsuit and get out there. Go get your ship. Make it happen. You know, can you imagine who won the Super Bowl? The Ravens? Can you imagine them just looking at the ball and hoping it's going to get into that goal? You mean I got to actually take it in my hands and run with it and throw it and catch it and kick it to get it to where it needs to go? That's tilling their land. And how many know, as an athlete in a professional level, they get paid well because they till their land? How many know, as a professional athlete, they still practice? Can you see, a football player that doesn't do anything in the off season? All they do is they go to party after party after party, but they don't do anything else. When the season comes, are they going to be ready? Uh-uh. They got to do some things in the off season. That's diligence. That's what I'm talking about. Cultivating your land is taking care of it so that it multiplies. A person that is not diligent, according to this scripture here, they follow worthless, vain pursuits. Vain persons shrink from honest labor. They delight in sleep. Indolence, which is laziness and inactivity. They play. They have idle talk. We must withdraw from the company of such. Listen, you don't want to hang around with idlers, because after a while, you'll be idling too. Uh-oh. You know, James says, without faith, without works, faith is what? If you don't have any action that demonstrates what you believe, then your faith is dead. Dead people don't work. Matter of fact, they don't do anything. Listen, a dead person makes the best couch potato. You can just put them in front of the TV and they, you know what? My mom was a beautician. And there were times when she had to cut dead people's hair for their funeral. She never got one complaint. We need to do the work that God called us to do. Did you know that God gave Jesus work? Go with me to John 5. I'm not just going to say it, I'm going to prove it according to the word. John 5 and verse 36. But I have greater witnesses than that of John, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. And the Father himself, which has sent me, has borne witness of me. You have neither heard of his voice at any time nor seen his shape. What were the works that Jesus did? He would make water into wine. He would lay hands on sick people and they would be whole. He would cast demons out of people and they would be free. He said, I will build my church. After all, he was a carpenter. He's good at building things. Amen. Building his church, that requires work, isn't it? And aren't you know that Jesus finished his work? Because when he was on the cross, he said, what? It is finished. He had reached the time of the day where it was his time to punch out. Amen? He could punch out. He could leave the office and go to his retirement place. Because, he finished his work in 33 years. He retired at the ages of 33 and a half. Praise the Lord. What are we sitting around waiting for? You don't have to retire when you're 60. You can retire when the work is done. Even God. He didn't rest until the work was done. But once the work was done, then he rested, the Sabbath. Amen? Praise God. I'm having a good time here today. Jesus worked with his hands. He laid hands on the sick and the oppressed. He worked with his body. His body was beaten, bruised, whipped, and nailed to the cross. Jesus worked to build his church. Jesus is working still right now because he's sitting at God's right hand and he's ever living to intercede for you. He just doesn't have to walk the earth anymore. Jesus did not make any mistakes and he finished his work. Jesus was a diligent person. He carried it through. A diligent person is one who follows through. You have got to put your hands to something. Amen? If you want to increase in your life, you've got to put your hand to something. You've got to do something. Faith is an action word. If you want to increase physically, you must put your hand to exercise and good nutrition. To increase spiritually, you must put your hands to the Word of God. And to read, to study, to pray, and to worship. To increase mentally, you must put your hands to learning and studying new information. When you put your hand to something, you'll prosper. Harvest requires diligence. Amen? Amen? God is so good. Go to Proverbs 12 and look at verse 24. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. So what does that mean? A person with diligent hands, you're going to end up ruling. Did you know that Joseph was a diligent person? Go to Genesis 39. Genesis 39. How did Joseph get to Egypt? He was taken by slave trade. Joseph's own brothers sold him into slavery. But you know what? In Joseph's mind, he wasn't a slave. Even though he looked like a slave, his actions were that of a slave, but he did not think of himself as a slave. Can you say amen? Don't go around saying you work for a slave driver. Because I'm going to show you something here that can change your situation. So foreigners bought him like property and hauled him off to a foreign country. He had no rights. He could not choose what type of work he would do. As a slave, he was ordered to do what his master told him to do. Look at verse 2. Joseph, he was a good worker, right? And the Lord was with him. Let me turn there so that I can give this to you. This is important. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was prosperous. How are you going to be prosperous when the Lord is with you? How many know that the Lord is with them? Then that's all you need to prosper. When you know that the Lord is with you and you're with him, you will prosper. Anywhere you go, in any situation, under any employer. Okay? He was in the house of his master Egyptian. So he lived with Potiphar. Potiphar bought him so that Joseph could serve him. Okay? Verse 3. His master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hands. See, the heathen saw evidence of God working in Joseph's life. So when he said, Joseph, I want you to go and manage the sheep pen, he came back. And he brought a report to Potiphar that Potiphar had more sheep than he thought he did. And he told Joseph, he said, I want you to manage the household finances. And, you know, Joseph did his work. He came back, and Potiphar saw increase. In other words, everything that Potiphar assigned Joseph to do, he did, and he had great results. Why? Because the Lord was with him. Okay? Why? Because the Lord wants you to prosper. Listen, if God be for you, who can be against you? No one. But you have to have confidence that God is with you, that God is for you, that no matter where you are in life, God wants you to prosper. But on the other hand, maybe you didn't spend enough time listening to his instruction and you're in the wrong place. Uh-oh. Got really quiet on that one. Pastor, you were going so good, then you had to bring that up. What? Okay. So notice that Joseph was described as a prosperous man, not a prosperous slave. And his master saw that whatever he put his hand to prospered, because that's what a diligent person does. They put their hand to something. Joseph would go to Potiphar. Okay, sir, I'm done with that. What else do you have for me? Okay, I'm done with that. What else do you have for me? That's what he did. All right, verse 4. Joseph found grace in his sight, Potiphar's sight. That word is favor. And he served him. Joseph was probably pleasant when he served Potiphar. He probably smiled. You know, when I worked in a bank, my manager, one time he was doing a review of me, and one of the things that he said was, he said, "Doug, I like you because you have a calming personality." He said, "Chaos could be happening, but when you're there, it's just a calming presence." And I said, "Thank you." And I've always been that way. I don't, you know, when my car caught on fire, I called up Fiona and I said, you know, I wasn't frantic. I said, you know, Fiona, you know, and I said, you know, my car caught on fire. She's like, "What?" You'll find that Fiona's a lot more expressive in their emotions than I am. So Joseph found grace. How do you find grace? If you read Hebrews 4:16, you go before the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace in the time of need. So Joseph must have had a relationship with God to find grace. Listen, yes, in one sense, grace finds you, but in another sense, you have to find grace. You have to believe it by faith. And he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had, he put into his hand. Okay? So Joseph had favor with Potiphar. He served Potiphar. Joseph was promoted to supervisor of Potiphar's house. He was in charge. How does a slave get to be in charge? Let me tell you something. First of all, you don't think of yourself as a slave. Secondly, you work with God and let God work through you. Amen? Do the job that you're supposed to do. Do it with excellence. Do it with diligence. And guess what? Look at what happens. So Joseph's in charge. See, God just needed a righteous man in there. And look at all that he had put in his hand. All that he had put into his hand, it prospered. Okay, verse 5. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house. Wait a minute. Does your Bible say anything different? Did the Lord bless the Egyptian's house? For whose sake? Oh my goodness. Do you mean that God will bless your boss because you who are righteous are there? Yes. Why? God will bless those to get the blessing to you. He blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. Every field that Joseph planted produced a bumper crop. Why? Because he was diligent. He had a good attitude. He did his work. He probably did more than what he was asked. He went the extra mile. And even in prison, verse 20, even in prison he prospered. You mean you can prosper as a prisoner? Yes, when God's on your side, nothing is impossible. And then finally, he had the biggest promotion of all. He was prime minister, second to Pharaoh. He oversaw all of Egypt's finances. Can you do that? Will God do that for you? Yes. But what does he want you to be? He wants you to be diligent. He wants you to walk in righteousness. He wants you to keep his commands. He wants you to be a giver. He wants you to seek God above all else. And when you do all these, you will prosper. You will increase. You will multiply. Go back to Proverbs 13. I'm almost done. I can see the finish line. I'm not quite there yet, but almost. Proverbs 13, verse 4. The soul of the sluggard desires and has nothing, But the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. And that word fat, that means anointed, blessed. Amen? You know, like the fatted calf, that's a good calf, man, ready to eat. So the desire of the diligent will be satisfied because they go after their dreams and they come true. You know, it's amazing that if you go after your dreams, they will come true. Dreams don't come true if you don't go after them. So if you got some dreams, if God's put some things into your heart, go after them. And if you don't know what to do, get wisdom. God will show you what to do. He'll teach you what you need to do. I had no clue about getting in the ministry. My father was an insurance agent. My mother was a beautician. One of my grandfathers worked for the city. My other grandfather was an electrician. The closest thing I had to preaching was some of my grandfather's brothers were auctioneers. But God took this Catholic boy from LaSalle, Illinois. He got him saved, and he showed him that he had a plan for him. And believe me, I made a lot of mistakes. I had a lot of bad attitudes that God had to work out. And God's still working on me. Amen? Aren't you glad that God's still working on you? I want to make a t-shirt. I want it to say, God at work, instead of men at work, or a work in progress. But I had no clue. What did God do? He told me to go to a place out of my comfort zone. Tulsa, where? Oklahoma? I'd never been to Oklahoma. So I went. Why? Because I obeyed God. Why? Because that's where he needed to train me. Because I had no clue. I didn't know what to do. Like Keith Moore, he said before God called him, he was a kickboxer. He said, I had kicks and punches prepared, not sermons prepared, but God called him. And you know what? God's got a call for you too. And you may be doing your call. Calling is not just reserved for preaching. Every function in life is a call from God. Why? Because God needs people in every walk of life. He needs people in every business, every company, every situation. And you know what? You could work for the most evil person. Let me tell you something. There was a prophet who worked for Ahab. You think you got it bad? And this prophet Obadiah, he hid 100 prophets in a cave and fed them bread and water so that Jezebel wouldn't kill them. But yet he worked for Ahab. So it doesn't matter who you work for. It matters who you are. It matters who you choose to be and how you choose to walk and how you choose to live. That's what matters. And these are principles. Look at verse 11. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathers by labor shall be increased. You know, you can gather little by little. A diligent person is a saving person. Guess what? You have a future. But you got to start investing in your future now. If you want to retire, start putting money away now. Deny self-gratification. And you'll put things off now, but for a future use. Deny yourself now and be blessed here. That's what a diligent person does. A diligent person is a planner. God will make the plans of the diligent to come to pass. David was diligent. He obeyed his father. He made sure that when he went away, the sheep were taken care of. Jacob was a diligent person. Well, he was a deceiver. Yeah, but he was diligent because if you notice his conversation with Laban, Laban suffered no loss while Jacob oversaw his sheep. Jacob took the loss so that Laban wouldn't. That's diligent. Ruth was diligent. She was diligent to glean and to obey Naomi and to do it. And guess what? She ended up with a Boaz. Daniel was diligent. He refused to eat the king's food for 21 days, and he turned out a lot better. And because he was diligent, God made him 10 times wiser, him and his friends, than anybody else in the kingdom. Can you say amen? You've got to combine your words with actions. We need some diligent people here that can find something to do and put their hand to it and do it. That's how this church, that's how we're going to grow. And you know what? We've got some diligent people. Amen? We've got some good leaders. But you know what? God's got more for us to reach. And we've got to just put our hand to something. We've got to be diligent. Amen? When you seek God above all else, and you're diligent, and you walk in righteousness, you keep his commands, you be a giver, you are going to prosper. Amen? And next week, we'll have Terry Tripp. So I will get to the last two, your words and the fear of the Lord. That's going to be my last two in this series. And when you combine all eight, you know, eight is a new beginning, or what is it, seven? No, it's eight. Eight is a new beginning. Amen? You put these principles into practice in your life, and you're going to have a new beginning. Hallelujah. And like I said, this was given by revelation. God just began to show me these things. And isn't that wonderful? Because I get to show them to you. Amen? And then, you know, when you do it, you're going to multiply. When I do it, I'm going to multiply. And together, we're all going to see increase. Amen? But God wants to increase your life. A lot of people possess God, but a lot of them, they don't. God doesn't possess them. Does God possess you? What does that mean? That means if he asked for anything that you have, no matter how small or how big, and if he wanted to use it for something else, could you let go of it? If God called you to the mission field and you didn't need your house anymore, could you walk away from your home? When you compare the gift that God's given us, his only son. Amen? Father, we give you thanks and praise that you have given us such a great, unspeakable gift. And Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would stir up your heart, our hearts, that we would give unto you, Father, and we would hold back nothing in the name of Jesus. I want you to stand up if you can. God wants you to work hard, but he doesn't want working hard to become a god. He wants you to seek God above all else. I believe that there's some people here today that you need to renew your covenant to give God all. I believe that there's some people here today that God wants to bless you so much, but there's some areas in your life that you have cut off because you refuse to give those areas of your life to God. You refuse to do what he asked, to do what he stated in his word, but you know what? Today can be your turnaround. Amen? God wants you to have a turnaround day today. He doesn't want anything between you and him. He wants to be able to wrap his arms around it. He wants to be able to get close. He wants to be able to infiltrate every area of your life. Amen? And I think that we just need to come before God's altar today. Whoever this is for, however God is laying it on your heart, you just need to come and you just need to give God all. Amen? Now that you haven't, you have given God some things in the past, but there's some things that you're holding on to. There's some things that God wants to do that are greater in your life. He wants to do more. Amen? And you need to give God a seed. And I'm not talking about an offering. I'm just talking about your heart. I'm talking about your life. I'm talking about being willing and obedient to eat the good of the land. I'm talking about willingness. Will you follow God and go wherever He says go? Will you do what God says do no matter what? Will you be who God created you to be? That's what it is. Amen. And I just want you to come and give yourself an offering to God. You give yourself to God and you become more open. You become more willing. Amen. The biggest room that we all have is the room for improvement. I'm asking you to take a step of faith and let God just open the floodgates by not holding anything back from God. Amen. Your life, I'm talking about in your life, your time. Amen. How does your time, how would God view your time? How would he view the managing of your resources? You know what's first in your life, and you know what's second in your life. And some priorities need to change. Amen. Now, if that's you, Holy Spirit, I pray in the name of Jesus right now that you move on hearts. Father, you convict us of sin, righteousness, and of judgment. And Lord, we're just going to come to you, and we're going to offer ourselves up to you as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to you, Father, in Jesus' name. Just come and offer yourself as a living sacrifice to God. And by you coming up here, you're just saying, I'm not holding anything back anymore. And the anointing of God is going to come. And He's going to cover you. He's going to fill you. Maybe show you some things that you need to let go of so that you can go on to greater things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A fresh commitment, a renewed covenant, a better walk. Yes. Maybe you've been walking on shaky ground, unstable ground. It's time to make sure your foot is sure. Hallelujah. And if there's anybody here, you need to be born again. Don't leave today without being born again or renewing your relationship with God. We've fallen short, but you know what? We don't have to stay in that short position. You can come up higher. That's what Jesus is all about. He wants to take you higher. He wants to do more. He wants to do more than you've ever dreamed. Hallelujah. Father, let your wind blow right now and your fire fall right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, let your fire fall. The fire of your Holy